The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
What a wonderful, wonderful job. And I thank the Lord that we chose to have the program for children, and what a blessing that is to be able to have such a program that our children can advance in their way that they serve Christ. Let's look at this together as our time allows. Here we're talking about tonight on how can I become a personal success. Much in the Bible is taught about success. We're going to study one person, and that's Zacchaeus. The Bible says in the book of Luke, chapter 19, verse 3, and he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. Look at verse 4. The Bible says, and he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for it says he was to pass that way. So here we see the story of Zacchaeus. I believe the same principles can be used and followed as far as a person in business as it would be for anybody else to become successful in life. I believe this, the same type of things that would make a preacher successful is the same type of things from a human standpoint that can make a lawyer successful, or to make a doctor successful, or a merchant successful. The fundamental principles are the same, and that's what we're going to study tonight. We're going to study just the basic fundamental principles of how we can be more successful in our individual lives. Measured by the world standard, I think you'd have to agree with me that Zacchaeus was a successful man. He had a very good position. He was well-to-do. You're going to have to take in consideration, I think he was a dishonest man. I think he was a man that did not have integrity when it came to honesty. Matter of fact, Luke chapter 19, verse 8, the Bible says this, if I've taken anything from any man of false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And so he even knew that there had been times when he had perhaps done such a thing. You know, it's kind of funny, however, you think about how God will use such a individual to be able to teach us some principles for us to learn by. You know, measured by maybe a political standard of this day, Zacchaeus would have been pretty successful, maybe even considered in a political view pretty straight, maybe have a reputation in that area. But still, when you got to know him, when you understood him, when you study him, you see that reputation's really not all that good. Matter of fact, he would remind you when the Civil War was over, there was two types of people that came into existence in grabbing things and trying to lead in the South. One of those was called a scallywag. Another one, of course, was called a carpet beggar or a carpet bagger. And you'll see this, that after the Civil War, both these types of groups that were in the South were hated. There's the carpet baggers. They were people that came down from the North to try to lead in the affairs of the South. The South was, of course, devastated because of the war, and so those that were from the North came down to the South, and they just tried to conduct, tried to overtake the affairs of the South, and according to the history books, they were called carpet baggers. Then there was what they called the scallywags. The scallywags were Southern people that started to go into partnership with that which was the carpet baggers. And these people, the carpet baggers, were hated. Those that were called the scallywags were hated exceedingly. Because they were taking a part, if you would please, on the people of the South and taking advantage of them, though they were Southerners, they themselves. You know, here's Zacchaeus. If you were comparing him to those two types of individuals, he would be called a scallywag. He was there, involved in the Roman government, and yet he was persecuting his own people by taking much taxes from them. Zacchaeus, known as a scallywag because of the fact he was taking advantage of his own people. A matter of fact, Zacchaeus almost you could consider a ringleader. He was one that was kind of leading the charge, if you would please. You know, the Bible teaches that he was also known for two other things. He was known to be very unpopular among his own people because of his character, but he's also known to be short in his stature. That means he wasn't very tall. He was just a short person. And if you looked at those two things and said, well, I tell you what, because of those two things, he had some handicaps. Well, let's look and see what he did to overcome some of those. Statement number one, we have to learn to overcome handicaps. I don't care what they are. We have to learn, if we're going to be successful, we have to learn to overcome handicaps. Luke chapter 19 and verse 1, the Bible says, and Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now watch it in verse 2, Luke chapter 19. We'll do the Bible study here in this particular chapter. The Bible says, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, the Bible says, which was the chief among the publicans, watch it, and was rich. So like I said a moment ago, he was the leader of them. He was chief among them. And so you see that Zacchaeus, I'll use the word scallywag again, was coming against his own people, and he was the chief leader coming against his own people. So he wasn't really accepted well among his own people. He was somebody, if you would please, as he was walking down the street, people would hiss at him. People would maybe throw things at him. People would maybe utter slang words or curse words at him. He was not well received at all. Now, may I say that even though he wasn't well received, even though he was doing things that he should not have done, for some reason, he just kept going. He didn't let it get him down. He did not let his stature stop him. So we can learn some things about that. You know, sometimes a person will not serve the Lord because they have minor problems. You've heard people say this, can't go to church tonight, got a sore toe. Can't go to church tonight, I've got a headache. Can't go to church tonight, my throat is sore. Can't go to church tonight or serve God, I mean, after all, because, well, I got a friend at church and they're not my friend no more. You know, I just can't stand my children embarrassing me at church. You know, they just won't behave and it embarrasses me at church, so it'd be better if I just don't go. I feel sick. I feel like there's a cold coming on. Notice the cold hadn't come yet. It's just coming on. Okay, I lost a job, so I need to stay home and I need to skip church because I got to find a job. Though they slept all afternoon, criticism. I don't want to go to church because somebody might criticize the way I look. My hair's not in place. My teeth is not brushed. My ears are not cleaned out. I'm not presently shaved. My hair, when I dyed it, turned a different color than what was on the box. Some people, they'll skip church because maybe they're going through financial problems. Or they'll skip serving God because of maybe some other things, maybe a heartbreak. Or maybe because of a broken promise. Or maybe because, honestly, they do face some terminal disease or terminal illnesses in their life. Okay? You know, what you and I need to try to do is simply to do our best. That's all God asks us to do. Don't compare yourself to somebody else. You just do your best. God knows if you can. God knows if you can't. And God is somebody, if you will, that will accept all that is about you. But to give up, that's not a good thing. To throw in the towel, that's not a good thing. You're going to find out the older you get, I know that some teenagers will think that, boy, I tell you what, I can't wait to become an adult and get out from underneath the tutorship of my dad and mom. Because after all, when I become an adult, I'm going to have more freedom, more liberty, and less responsibility. It's opposite of that. When you become an adult and you take on adult responsibilities, you have less freedom. You have more responsibility. And may I say, your mom and dad is doing you a great favor by helping to stretch you now so that you don't get shocked when you enter into the real world. May I say, statement number one, learn to overcome handicaps. Statement number two, use what you have and know. So many people will say this, preacher, I wish I knew what so-and-so knows. I'll remind you, Bob Jones Sr., that established Bob Jones College, later on turned to Bob Jones University, said this. He said, you don't have to be smart, you just need to know how to borrow brains. And he did. He surrounded himself with men of high integrity, men, if you would please, of depth, men of organizational skills, and he did that as a young man. Can I say, use what you have and know. Luke chapter 19, verse 3, the Bible says, and he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. Look at verse 4 again. The Bible says, and he ran and he climbed up in a sycamore tree to see him. For the Bible says, for he was to pass that way. So apparently he checked out which way he was coming. He did his due diligence. He used what he had and what he knew. He looked for a way. There were so many times down in New York City, we would like to go down to Flatbush area or over into Bushwick where we had an international home for runaway boys and girls. And many of the buildings in New York, especially the older buildings, were flat on the roofs. And so when it came July the 4th, best place to be, down in Bushwick on a flat roof, sitting in a chair watching the fireworks shoot over the Statue of Liberty. Now, can I tell you, we knew where to go. We knew exactly where to sit. We knew exactly where they were going to fire them off. We knew everything about it. We did our research, and we knew where we could get the best spot to see the most fireworks. Well, he knew where he could get the best spot to see Jesus coming by. He did his calculations. He did his thinking. He knew what tree he could climb up. He knew where it was going to be situated. He did not allow himself to be stopped because of a handicap. All right. Also, he was a person that learned to use what he had and what he knew. You know, first, we must recognize the limitations. A person that recognizes their limitations can be able to adjust their lives whereby they can have a better balance. Don't let your limitations stop you. Let your limitations enhance you. Don't let your limitations be the thing that holds you back. Learn to compensate for any limitation that you feel or that you know that you have in your life. So learn you, know your strengths. And by the way, know your weaknesses. Know where you can be able to serve Christ to the greatest capacity that you have, and you'll be able to do more for him. If you have a handicap, then recognize it, but don't let it stand in your way. Use your strengths that you have. Use them for God. Use your weaknesses that you have. Use them for God. Allow those things to compensate one for the other. Zacchaeus was little in stature, small guy, smaller than the average guy of his day, but he didn't allow that to stop him. Matter of fact, he allowed that to challenge him to be able to go forward. By the way, when's the last time, instead of complaining the way that God made you, that you said, Father, thank you for making me the way you made me. Thank you for that. Thank you for allowing me to have the privilege, to have the background that I've had. I hear so many people, and I'm just being very candid, I hear so many people complaining, well, if I had different parents, if I was born in a different state, if my skin color was a different color, if I had a certain amount of education behind me, the problem is you're always looking at the reasons why you can't serve God instead of looking at how good God's been to you. Amen. And God has been very good to you. You know, God has given you the ability to be able to do things that others can only dream about doing, because you're allowing yourself to be able to be used of God. But when you start looking inward, when you start looking to the back, when you start looking at things that, I can't serve God because of this and because of this and because of this and because of this, maybe you ought to look at it this way. I can serve God because of this and because of this and because of this and because of this. Don't look at the reasons why you can't serve God. Why are you putting limitations on a God that has none? May I remind you that it was the Christians that tied the hands of God in the Old Testament, that limited his hands. God's hands are not limited, but by. God's hands are not limited, but by the Christian. So if you would stop tying his hands up through unbelief, you'd be amazed at what God could do through your belief. Zacchaeus was little in stature. But that did not stop him. Statement number next, always be on time. Now I'm ducking from my wife. Always be on time. But she was on time. She was on time. You know, she caused 5 accidents, but she was on time. No, I'm kidding. Luke chapter 19, verse 5. The Bible says, when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and he saw him. Now why? Well, apparently Zacchaeus did his homework. He was in the right spot at the right time, because he knew the Lord was going to pass by that way. Boy, it's good to think, isn't it? It's good to prepare, isn't it? It's good to plan, isn't it? It's good to be able to walk down a well-thought plan to be able to be more productive in what you do for Christ. Here's what it says. The Bible says, and when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and he saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. Now, why did Jesus choose this one? Well, if you're going to abide at somebody's house, wouldn't it be better to abide at somebody's house that can feed you? Where you can get rest? If I had a choice to abide at somebody's house, I think I would abide at somebody's house that I could get more rest at. You say, what are you saying? I'd probably compare sofas. I'd probably compare bedroom. I probably would compare, okay, heard they serve this type of food. These other people, they serve this, this, and this. Well, I got a choice. I like that better. And I think that's exactly what the Lord is doing here. He said, hey, you come down. Now, it might have been because he saw the earnestness of Zacchaeus. Nobody else was in the tree. Nobody else went to that effort. Nobody else tried that hard. Nobody else was thinking as well as Zacchaeus was. All right? And so it might have been that the Lord said, okay, I'm going to go to his house because he put forth the extra effort. We see in Luke chapter 19 and verse 6, the Bible says, and he made haste. You would too. The Bible says, and he came down and received him joyfully. Hey, if the Lord physically passing by tonight says, hey, I'd like to come to your house. Matter of fact, I'd like to, if it's okay, if you don't mind, I'd like to sleep in your bed. You sleep in the living room. Most of you would say, man, that is great. Some of you would say, not yet. I got to clean. You know, you might even say, well, no, not yet, because, you know, there's things like in my bedroom I really don't want you to see. So let me go home and hide those things first. But here's what he did say. He said this. He said, make haste and come down. And he said that he received him joyfully. So Zacchaeus, by the way, if he would have been late, he would have missed him. He would have missed him. If he would not have been on time, if he would not have thought ahead, if he had not made the extra effort to climb up in that sycamore tree, he would have missed him. Took effort, took energy, took somebody that put their best foot forward in order to be able to see the King of Kings. Zacchaeus did not only get there on time, must have got there ahead of time. He was there waiting for when the Lord came by. He was there ahead of time. He was just waiting. He was just sitting in the tree, passing the time, just waiting for Jesus to come by. Man, wouldn't that be good? You know, some people are anxious, if you will. to go to a ball game. They're anxious, if you will, to fulfill their to-do list. Wouldn't it be great if we were anxious just to please the Lord, just to see Him, just to walk close to Him? You know, I pity the poor, miserable soul, if you would please, that marries a woman that's too lazy to get up and kiss him goodbye when he's going to go out and work all day. Yeah, I pity that. You know, I pity the poor, miserable woman, if you would, that maybe is married to a lazy man that won't get up and go to work. I love you teenagers, and I think you know I do. And so because of that, I think I can help you a little bit. You're probably not going to get a job where you get paid to play video games. I'm sorry to break your heart, but you're probably not going to get paid for that. So it might be good to learn to read. Amen. Might be good to learn to spell. Might be good to learn to get up and start getting up early and accomplishing things that are productive things. Now, one of the things I tell young people when they get ready, if you've been in one of my marriage counseling sessions, you know, or even you've heard me teach and preach on it, that I think it'd be very, very wise for you young men that's thinking about getting married one day, that you save up at least $5,000 before you get married. Oh, you say, preacher, why? Well, it's going to take you about $1,500 just to get a deposit down somewhere. Then you're going to want to buy a washer and dryer, because most apartments don't come with that. Now, that's about another $1,000. Well, now you're at $2,500. Oh, probably a refrigerator would be good too. So now you're about to $3,500. Oh, yeah, that's right. You probably want to take a honeymoon. A honeymoon's going to be about $1,500. So now you're at $5,000, and that's with no extras. Oh, you say, a young man says, well, I'm ready to get married right now. And you're still playing that video game. You don't have a job. You don't have a skill. You don't have any intentions of getting either. And then you say, well, I tell you what, but I love her. I just love her so much. I mean, she's just pretty. You better hope she stays pretty for 5 more years till you get ready. Because it might take you that long to get ready. By the way, why would you want to hurry up and marry somebody when you're not prepared to take care of them? That doesn't seem fair. Well, I want to marry you because you could have all of me. And in some cases, that's not much. So what you want to do is you want to make sure that you prepare for them. You want to make sure that everything... You say, preacher, do you think that everybody ought to have that kind of money? No, some people can take and they can just do it with grit. That's fine. Equal sacrifice. Get one ear of corn. You get to eat half. I'll eat the other half. Hey, if that's the way you want to start, that's okay if it's okay with you and your bride. Tonight, honey, we can only afford to buy one can of beans. One spoon for you, one spoon for me, one spoon for you, one spoon for me. You can lick half of the can. I'll put my tongue in and lick the other half of the can. It's not the way to go. It's just not the way to go. I don't think you ought to be rich. I think you ought to plan ahead. Here it is. Okay. So Jesus came, and he comes to the place. He looks up. There he sees Zacchaeus. You say, what does all this have to do with marriage? It was good. And he told him, hey, come down. He said, man, I'm going to go to your house. I'm going to abide there. You think about it. Zacchaeus, I don't read in the Bible anywhere that he was just super brilliant. I don't read in the Bible anywhere that necessarily he had a university degree. I don't even read that he was a strong man, handsome man, knew languages. But I tell you what, he was a planner. He was a planner. Statement number next, be willing to help others with what you have and know. Be willing to help others with what you have and know. Be willing to help them. Help them. Help them be able to reach their goals. As a man soweth, it's true, that shall he also reap. If you help enough people to reach their goals, somebody's going to come along and help you to reach your goal. But you have to help people. Luke chapter 19, verse 7, the Bible says, and they saw it. And who are these? Probably the people that he took money from. The Bible says, and they saw it. And the Bible says, and they all murmured, saying, he's going down to be the guest with a man that is a sinner. Man, he's going down to be the guest of a man that's taking our money, that's cheating us on taxes. Can't believe Jesus would go and sit down with such a man. Don't forget, Jesus ate with publicans and sinners. Don't forget. Jesus wasn't stuck on himself. He was stuck on his Father. And his Father came to sent Jesus to seek and save that which was lost. Here it is. Luke chapter 19, verse 8. The Bible says, and Zacchaeus stood, and he said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I've taken, it says, anything from by any false accusation, I'll restore him fourfold. So he said this. He said, now, Lord, and by the way, watch this. He said that after he met the Lord. You know, when a person meets the Lord, walks in the presence of the Lord, he changes them. He changes them. He changes them from the inside out. Notice the Bible says that he was gone to be that guest. Notice the Bible says that here, when that person that was a guest, if you would please, a guest is somebody that you would take care of. You don't invite somebody over your house and say, hey, come on over. Just come on over. Now, we're all going to sit in chairs. You can have the floor. We're all going to eat steak tonight. There's some chips in the closet for you. Normally, not so. Not so. By the way, here's good etiquette. Normally, when you invite somebody out to eat with you, unless you tell them it's Dutch, and that's not the description of a little short man like Zacchaeus. But normally, if you invite somebody out to eat, you say, hey, let's go out to eat sometime. Normally, that insinuates that you're buying their meal. So here we see this. When somebody, you guys are looking at each other like, I knew I shouldn't have invited that person out to eat. But here you see Zacchaeus was invited into the house. Jesus was invited into the house of Zacchaeus. Probably meant there's going to be some rest. There's going to be some food there. Luke chapter 19 and verse 7, the Bible says, and when they saw it, they murmured. You're always going to have people that murmur against people that do good. Well, he shouldn't be doing that because, I mean, look who he is. She shouldn't be doing that because look who she is. Now, don't ever let anybody get under your skin. There should only be room enough for one under your skin. That's you. Luke chapter 19 and verse 8, you'll see that Zacchaeus, of course, was known for that which he was doing. He was known for that which is good. Matter of fact, he even said this in verse 8, as I read it again, he says, behold, Lord, he said, half of my goods, he said, I give to the poor. So he was known for being somebody, if you would please, at least at this time in his life, after he met the Lord, to be able to give. Notice, if you will, in verse 8, you'll see that as he did this, then you see that now there is going to be those that murmur and complain. As, of course, the Bible says in verse 8, that it says, if I've taken anything, it says, of any false accusation, I'll restore four times. Zacchaeus wanted to do that which he knew to do because it was right. Watch this, and I'm done. Here it is. Statement number next. Allow others to help you. Allow others to help you. When I was in high school, I had a stammering problem. It was horrible. I mean, it was embarrassing. It was embarrassingly horrible. It was ridiculously embarrassing. And I'd get up, and I happened to be somebody that was over a part of the track team, and I was fast with my legs. I was not fast with my speech, and it was embarrassing. you know, I'd go to tell a guy to do something, and it just, you know. Now, the guys loved me, appreciate that. They did not embarrass me. These were teammates. Teammates, by the way, a friend that's a true friend will try to help you, not try to hurt you. And these were true friends. And so here I was as one of the guys that was over a part of the track team, and I'd go to tell a guy to do something, and I just stutter. I'd stammer. That was embarrassing. That's one of the reasons when I went to Bible college and God spoke to my heart about preaching the Bible, I looked up to heaven. I said, are you for real? Do you have any idea what you're asking me to do? First off, I'm going to embarrass me. Second off, which is going to be worse than first off, I'm going to embarrass you. So I don't really think this is really a good thing for us to do. You know, of course, God wins, doesn't he, every time. Luke chapter 19, verse 9, the Bible says, and Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come into this house, for as much as he also is the son of Abraham. He said, wait a minute, I'm the one that's bringing salvation in. By the way, when Jesus comes in, that's where the salvation comes in. I was witnessing to a man today. Dr. Hamlin came and preached and had the privilege to take him out to lunch. And we're sitting there, and then him and Dr. Bachman was talking, and Brother Pittman was there. And so anyway, they were talking a little bit. And our waiter, you know, I asked him, I said, you know, are you a Christian? Do you know you're going to go to heaven? And he said, well, you know, I was raised in a Christian home. I said, that's good. But that's not what I asked. Here, let me rephrase it. If you died today, do you know for sure you'd go to heaven? He said, honestly? He said, I don't know that. I said, well, you need to. I said, let's do this. These guys are chatting a little bit. Let's go over to another table. That way we don't interrupt the conversation they're having, because that's important. And let's just, you and I, sit down. And let's just talk a little bit. Now, don't you do it if you're going to get in trouble. Because if you're going to get in trouble, it's not going to be worth it. I mean, this is, you know, you're on company time. He said, nah. He said, they, it's okay. I said, okay, come on, let's go. So he said, let me take these back to the kitchen area and the dirty plates and stuff like that. And so he said, I'll be right back. And so he took it in, and he came back, and we sat down together, and we spent a little bit of time together. And I went over to the plan of salvation. He just lost his dad a couple weeks ago, and just really brokenhearted over his dad. Now, he didn't get saved. He wasn't saved. He knows he's not saved. But he said this. He said, thank you for caring, and thank you for taking the time just to sit and talk with me. I just needed to really talk some things out. Now, can I say this? Allow yourself to be able to help others. The end result of you desiring to help others might not, stay with it, might not, listen to it, might not be the end result that you want. But if the end result is that they get the help that they need, that's the end result that God wants. So here it is, and I'm done. Luke chapter 19, verse 10. The Bible says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save what? The Bible says seeking to save that which was lost. Aren't you glad he came for you? Aren't you glad you're saved? You know, if I take a trip and I go to North Carolina to preach, I'm just as saved in North Carolina as I am in Texas. If I take a trip and I go to Colorado to preach, I'm just as saved in Colorado as I am in Texas. Now, can I say that allow others to be able to help you? Being successful. You know, there's going to come a day when somebody's going to need your help. Drop the pride. Drop whatever you're doing. The most important thing you could ever do is help someone. Is help someone. Not chase a piece of paper. Not chase a to-do list. Life is about people. And the more you can learn to try and help people and slow down and just treat people real, because I'm going to tell you something, people are real. And you take time to help people, you're going to find out that God blesses you tremendously because of that. So don't let anything stop you from helping others. By the way, don't let anything stop you from allowing others to help you. Might be with advice. It might be. I remember I shared this with Brother Hamlin has a pet name for me. I'm not going to tell you what it is. But he has a pet name for me. But I remember years ago when I came down from Brooklyn, New York. I was a little tight. And by the way, try not to be tight, but I was a little tight. My pastor, Dr. C.R. Williams, said he always thought I was born in New York. You remember that, honey? He always said, Mike Wells, he said, on staff, you got to forgive him. He'd always say stuff like that. He was born in New York. And I'm sitting there, I was not born in New York. I was born in Maryland. But for 8 years, I was born in New York. And so, never corrected him publicly. I had more respect for him than that. But for him, I was a New York kid. And so, he told the church. He said, "I'm going to try and help him." He said he never smiles. Now people tell me I smile too much. You can't win for losing. But he said, so he never smiles. So I'm going to help him. I said on the platform. He said, "I'm going to buy him." Remember this, honey? "I'm going to buy him red suspenders." He did. They were that wide. Red suspenders. He said, "Now you work on my staff. My staff, I pay you. I'm your boss." He said, "So I expect you to do what I tell you to do, just like you work at McDonald's, Burger King, whatever." I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "The red suspenders is yours." I said, "Well, thank you." I was going to go home, hide them underneath my white socks. Pull them out at Christmas time. He said, "You get to wear them every Sunday." I said, "Sir?" He said, "Every Sunday." He said, "You're going to sit on the platform." And he said, "If I look over there and you're not smiling, I'm going to come over there and open up your jacket." He said, "Everybody's going to see your red suspender." He said, "And then I'm going to pop it." He said, "Everybody's going to see the pop." He said, "What do you think about that?" I said, "Pastor, I enjoy serving you. And I promise you, on Sunday, I'll be smiling." So he'd be preaching along. He'd be looking over that way. And I'd be sitting there, just sitting there looking business. And he'd look over at me and I'd go. He'd keep preaching, he'd be rearing back. And every time he'd look over, because, you could tell his body's moving that way. So he'd look over like this and I'd go. Say, what did you feel like you looked like? I didn't care. I didn't want anybody to see my red suspenders. Now, that went on for a little while. And he said, "I think you've learned your lesson." And I said, "Yes, sir, I have. Thank you very much." But stuff like that helped me because you know why? People do read you. Some people come to church and they look like they're mad, and they may be. Might have been that other fight they got in with their spouse. I don't know. But some people, they need to see somebody that smiles from time to time. Isn't that right, Kenny? It helps them. It just helps them. Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying you try to help other people, and you'll be amazed at how other people can help you. Even though Zacchaeus was a man that I think had some major errors in his life, we can learn some things from him whereby you and I can become successful in many areas in our life. Father, we thank you for tonight. Thank you for the privilege to be able to come, be a part of a church family, a caring, loving group of people. Father, that love you, that want to please you, very evident in their desire for the Bible truth. Bless, I pray, please, and help us to be all that we should be for you. Help us to take the lesson that was given tonight, young people, older people alike, to examine our hearts, to be able to become more successful, not for the pleasure of men, but for the pleasure of God, and so that you can bless in our individual lives. And Lord, we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed for just a moment. You're here tonight, you say, "Preacher, please pray for me. I don't know for sure if I died I'd go to heaven. I'm not sure about that. Please pray for me. I'm not sure I'm going to go to heaven. Please pray for me. Here's my hand. If that's you here tonight, just lift it mildly. We'll not embarrass you. God bless you. Thank you, friend. Preacher, that's me also tonight. I'm not sure I'm going to go.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.